In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner. As we welcome Chef John Ash back to the program, he's truly an old salt. And he's been,
what?
Well, you've been out fishing for
the past
week and a half, 2,000 miles away, haven't
you?
What, this is your annual trek
up to Sitka, Alaska, which is in southeast Alaska, and it's the most wonderful little town. And I've been doing this now. We counted it up. I've been doing it for about 15 years. Every July to go up there to a lodge called Talon Lodge, and they occupy a little island, their own little island out in the Bay of Sitka, and we go fishing, and they have a wonderful culinary staff. It's kind of a couple of steps above the typical fishing lodge, you know, which a bunch of guys drinking beer and eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and stuff like that. This one has really wonderful culinary stuff, so I go and cook with them for part of that time.
Marvelous. How were the seas this season?
You know, they were good. It was interesting. Salmon, typically that's what people go for, especially king salmon, and the king salmon weren't there. They're all down here in California. So
is that usual?
No, not at all. So our fishermen off of our coast here are killing it, you know, with king salmon. We get other kinds of salmon up there, coho salmon or silver salmon, same salmon. And there were a lot of those, but hardly any kings at all.
Did you catch silver salmon?
Yes, yeah.
And that's a good eating fish.
I think it's absolutely as good as king.
Oh, you too.
Yeah, they just don't get quite as big as king, but that's...
But good oil content.
They're fantastic.
So besides the salmon, what else is out there in the sea?
Oh, gosh, what did we catch? We caught halibut, of course, which is like pulling up a refrigerator from the bottom of the ocean, because they're deep, you know, typically. And black cod, which is my favorite fish of all, and ling cod, and rockfish, and it just goes on and on.
So the halibut, I learned quite a lot about this halibut, and that's the Alaska halibut is different than the California halibut.
Yes.
How does it differ?
Well, they're in the same family. The primary thing is that Alaska halibut are bigger, you know, or get bigger. But it's interesting. You can't keep big Alaska halibut. You can only keep them up to about, it's actually a measurement, but basically it's about 35 pounds or so, and anything over that, you have to put them back because they're the breeders for the next generation. These big ones.
Did you catch any halibut?
Yeah.
And you had that flash frozen and then sent.
Yeah, well, that's what's really great about going up there. So salmon, halibut, black cod, ling cod, all of those I caught. They immediately, as soon as you get in, they take them to the processor who fillets them and cryovacs them and freezes them rock hard. So they're absolutely as good as the freshest fish you could possibly imagine.
So frozen oftentimes can be better than fresh.
Yes, it can. Because you don't know how long that fish has been out of the water. Often the so-called fresh fish that we get here, you know, maybe they've been out of the water for 2 or 3 days. I mean, typically they're well taken care of, but they, you know, they begin to deteriorate slowly. So getting these frozen ones. And the interesting thing is in our supermarkets now, you can buy the frozen cryovac'd fish, which are either filleted and cryovac'd and frozen on the boat or as soon as they come into harbor. And those are as good as anything that you can buy fresh. And often they're less expensive because you can get them all year round.
So halibut, California halibut, as you mentioned, they're smaller, and I believe they have less fat than the bigger halibut that you catch in Alaska.
Yeah, though halibut don't have
they're lean, they're, aren't they?
They're very lean, which is one of the issues with them is that you can so easily overcook them, people have a tendency to do sometimes, but the deal is just don't overcook them.
Is it better not to have them directly in contact with like a pan, maybe to have them elevated a little bit above, to have a slow cook and a baked?
Either are fine. You know, you can grill them if you want
really?
To, I think I prefer them kind of slow roasted or something like that, because partly you can control them a little bit, because if you cook them a minute or two too long, they sometimes get dry and kind of chalky.
They're good if they're really fresh. They're good as sashimi.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
would you recommend that?
Yeah, yeah,
too?
Yeah.
And so we got
crudo. We call it. The Italians call it.
So we got the halibutink here. Black cod. Did you catch a few black cod?
I caught a couple. They're more typically the fishermen don't. The fishermen who go up there to fish sport fish don't want to catch them because they're not that they. If they caught one, they wouldn't keep it. But they're very deep. Typically, they can go down to 1,500 feet. And they also don't typically swim in schools. So you catch one, but you may not get another one for a while.
So you have a great recipe for black cod in a spicy coconut broth, did for the Monterey Bay Aquarium.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite dishes.
It's pretty foolproof.
Yeah.
For us.
Well, the thing about black cod, not Pacific cod, but black cod is its other names are sablefish or butterfish.
Oh, butter, like rich and
yes, fatty. And so that tells you what the deal with that. So you can't overcook black cod. I mean, even if you cook it and it begins to fall apart, it's still moist and delicious and all of that because it has so much, and it's good fat. You know, it's the high omega-3 fats that are in that fish, so it's a good one to get.
And this uses the coconut broth, as you refer to as laksa, the Malaysian.
It's a curry paste.
Curry paste.
Yeah, that you make yourself.
Maybe we could choose that one to put up on our KSR website.
People should know, and you can make this coconut curry sauce and do it not just with fish, but it's delicious with chicken and pork and all of that kind of stuff, or just as a soup base on its own.
Did you do some cooking up in Alaska also?
Yeah, that's part of the deal. So I cook about half the time up there when I'm there. And because they always have a good culinary staff, it's actually kind of a busman's holiday. I don't have to work too hard.
And you cook fish? Obviously.
Yes.
So black salmon, black cod you bought, salmon you caught, halibut you caught, ling cod.
Ling cod, yeah.
And so
the ugliest fish in the world, but it's delicious. Yeah.
How do you cook that? Pan?
You can. It's great pan sauteed. It also makes the most delicious things like fish tacos and things
that. Yeah. Any other fish besides those four?
And rockfish. They catch a lot of rockfish.
Is that really a fish? I always think of it as like what they don't know, what they call it, rockfish.
Well, there are many species that are given that rockfish name because they don't know what to call them all, but they tend to be very colorful. The most colorful one, I think, is one called yellow eye, which is this bright yellow fish with big eyes. You can only take one a season, which is interesting. So, and the reason for that is, used to be, I don't know, do you remember in markets we used to get rock? Here in California, they would call it red snapper.
Yes.
Or some, it wasn't red snapper at all. It was rock cod. We would get them, and it was cheap, you know, because they go and catch them, and you can catch them really quickly. They bite at anything. They'll eat anything. They'll go after anything. So they're easier to catch. Until they found out that many of these rock cod take years, if not decades, to grow. So you can have one that's 16, 18 inches long that could be as old as 50 years. So that.
Oh, then they cut back.
Yes, that's why it's more expensive too.
So why don't we offer our listeners black cod in a spicy coconut broth?
Yes.
We'll put that up on the website.
And you can use any fish you want.
You don't
have to use black cod. So, but we catch black cod off of our coast here in California too, so it's available.
Monterey and up and down?
And Bodega. Places like that, It kind of moves up and down the coast.
How was your weather up there?
It was actually really nice this time, which maybe explains why the king salmon weren't there, because it was pretty warm. And the water's warmer, you know, and salmon, I think what was happening was the bait fish for salmon, they're really abundant, and they stayed way out, and the salmon were there where they could eat, so they didn't need to come in.
But a bumper crop on the California coast for king salmon.
It's amazing. Yeah. I was talking to a guy. Actually, I had to catch an airporter back, and I was talking to the driver, and he said, we were out, and he was on a boat with a bunch of other fish. He said, we caught 77 king salmon last week.
Oh, my gosh.
That was great.
Remarkable. We'll take a break. There's John Ash's Fisherman's Tale from Alaska. Yeah. And we're coming back and tasting some extraordinary wine. We don't do a lot of wine shows, but sometimes something warrants us to bring it to our listeners' attention.
Yeah.
And we'll meet a great winemaker. And it's a father and daughter team.
It's a father and daughter team. And also, he is one of the founders of the California wine industry.
That, when we come back, it's the Chaos Arnold Good Food Hour. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station. FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
Hi, I'm Noreen Evans. Since October, I've been fighting to help you recover from the wildfires. We all know that this will take hard work and a lot of resources. So I've asked Aaron Brockovich to join us to help. Aaron has fought PG&E before and has held them accountable for the harm they've caused in communities just like ours.
You know, we've had lots of fire situations with Pacific Gas and Electric. They've got an antiquated system. They have failing infrastructure. When are you going to do your job and make it right? This mentality you have as a corporation isn't working and will not move you or these people into the future.
Meet the team that Aaron Brockovich is working with and learn more about your legal rights against PG&E. The next meetings are Thursday, August 2nd at 5:30 p.m. and Saturday, the 4th at 10 a.m. at 70 Stony Point Road in Santa Rosa. For more, visit pgelawsuit.com. John Cox and the law offices of John Cox is the attorney responsible for the content of this commercial.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted best farmers market in Sonoma County. You'll enjoy exploring all they have to offer. This summer's market is exploding with all its local bounty. Berries and fruit, summer squash, onions, and vine-ripe tomatoes. Get your vegetable starts and advice from master gardeners at the Saturday market. When it comes to choosing meat, discover the quality of local beef, pork, lamb, and freshly made sausages. Award-winning vendors and artisans offering everything from baked goods, olive oil, fermented foods, spices, and chocolate to hand-painted silk pieces. Enjoy a fruit smoothie, breakfast, or lunch from the variety of food vendors. Santa Rosa's Original Certified Farmers Market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. Open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Mark Patrick Hypnosis is coming to Santa Rosa August 6th for one day only. Lose weight or stop smoking now through hypnosis. Join the over 500,000 people who have stopped smoking or lost weight with America's best-known hypnotist, Mark Patrick. The Weight Loss Hypnosis Seminar is Monday, August 6th from 5:30 to 7:30 and Stop Smoking Hypnosis Seminar from 8 to 10 at the Flamingo Resort Hotel and Conference Center, 2777 4th Street. Registration starts 30 minutes prior to sessions. Seating is limited, so arrive early to reserve your spot. For only $49.99, learn how the life-changing power of hypnosis can help you achieve your goal to lose weight or stop smoking, 100% guaranteed. Whether you need to lose weight or want to stop smoking, join Mark Patrick Hypnosis Monday, August 6th at the Flamingo Resort Hotel and Conference Center, 2777 4th Street. To learn more, go to markpatrickseminars.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
I want to mention that this hour we're going to give away two pair of tickets to the Gravenstein Apple Fair. John and I will be broadcasting the show as we have for the past 20 plus years from the Gravenstein Apple Fair on August 11th, and we want to invite you to join us. So we have two pair of tickets to give away later in the show today.
Cool.
How about that?
That's great.
And why don't you do the introductions, because you've known this gentleman longer than I have. I've known him for about 10 minutes.
I've known him for 55 years. No. Not quite that one, but well, I mentioned just before you came in that you really are one of the godfathers of the California wine industry. You are
one of the great grandfathers.
Yeah, our great grandfathers. This is Bryce Couture Jones is with us, and that is a tip off to the winery that you helped start, which was Sonoma Couture.
Yeah.
When did the winery get built?
Well, the vineyard
was
we
there.
Plant no, yeah. We planted Milt Sessions horse pasture. And we planted that beginning in 1972. And I couldn't get Cabernet, and I thank God, and even Pinot, but they gave me Chardonnay over at Sonoma Grapevine. And because Davis said I should be planting, I'm sorry to diverge.
No, no, it's fascinating.
They said I should be planting white grapes, and I said, white? Nobody's drinking white wine. And they said, yeah, Chardonnay. Now, I'd sold this deal in New York as an expert. I'd never heard the word Chardonnay.
Really?
Really. But I planted them anyway, and of course the white wine boom just hit us like a rocket in the mid-70s. And lots of stories when we have more time about that. But anyway... So we're sitting there on Chardonnay. I'm selling to 30, 40 wineries of Napa and Sonoma County. We had 600 acres of Chardonnay in cold climate, hillies like Burgundy. Oh, my God, we were taking it to the bank. Mm. And so the partners that I had sold to in New York said, let's have a winery. So, okay. So we broke ground for that in 80. First vintage was 81.
So, but you established a whole new level for Chardonnay. I think that, well, isn't it, it's something like perennially you're the Sonoma Coutrer Chardonnay is the most requested Chardonnay in restaurants in America.
It still is. Yeah. We put that in number one the year that survey first came out.
Was that on the list of John Ash in the
80s? Of course. Of course. Because they were just down the road.
You bet. I used to go there and buy it myself.
So that still was the largest selling Chardonnay on restaurant menus for many, many years.
Still is.
Yeah. Then in the, was it late 90s that you divested yourself of Sonoma Couture?
99.
Was it 99?
Yeah.
And then started this new project. We've just skipped over your entire lifetime quickly.
That's okay.
I did read about you that you were a helicopter pilot in
Vietnam. I beg your pardon. I was a fighter pilot.
Mm. Oh, sorry. Yeah. A fighter pilot in Vietnam, and then came back and had really no inclination to go into the wine business. You had other career aspirations.
No, I wanted to be in the vineyard business. And let me just digress a second, and we got to get more in this.
Yeah.
But the reason I got into this in my second tour in Vietnam, I was working for a general who considered himself a wine buff. And I finally found out that was because he was shot down in France in World War II. And he had to ziggy out through the vineyards to get to Switzerland. And one day he says to me over lunch, Steve, you're not going to believe this. It's 1966, about the year Bob Mondavi invented premium wine in this country. The general says to me, you know, Lieutenant, that Burgundy is the name of a place. I said, General, you're full of beans. It's a brand of Parmesan.
That's right.
So that's when I finally got out of the Air Force, went to business school. I tried and tried to start a vineyard deal, and I almost struck out, but I just barely edged in there.
So you were already drinking great wine in the late 60s?
Well, I wouldn't call it great wine, Mountain Burgundy or whatever it was, Hardy Burgundy.
Mm. Oh, you had not started collecting Bordeaux at that time?
Well, I had them. I bought the 62s and the 64s. And you know, in England, I'd go to Christie's and buy these at for $35 a bottle.
Yeah.
And I had a cellar full of them. When we started building the winery, my partner made me divest that thing.
Oh.
And boy, I got a nice chunk of change for this. As an old fighter pilot, I did all right.
So we're done with Sonoma Couture in the late 90s, and you're deciding what the next part of your life's going to be.
Yeah. So I had a pocket full of money. Don Hallberg, Hallberg Ranch, walked into the building and said, I'm ready to sell, and you said you would match any offer. And he had an apple orchard, as you know, and any offer. Should have been about half what we ended up paying by the time my friend Jess and Ernest found out about the opportunity.
So there was a bidding war?
Well, it wasn't an obvious one. It's just that, Bryce, I think we're going to have to raise the rate a little bit. So finally, Kirk and Debbie promised him we'd leave his ugly trees up the driveway and stuff like that. And he said, okay.
Well, what was so appealing to you about an old rundown apple orchard?
Yeah.
The Halberg fan, what? He and his wife owned that property for a number of years, didn't they?
Yeah.
And when they wanted to sell, why were you so gung-ho about getting this property?
Because I knew Pinot was the wine of the future, at least in Sonoma County. And that was the last sizable piece of perfect Pinot land left in California, and that means America.
So for our listeners, Why? It's in the heart of the Russian River. And where is it?
2 miles north of Sebastopol, uh-huh. right on the Gravenstein Highway. I mean, that stretch of land from Sebastopol to Forestville, I once wrote an article and said, this is America's Cote de Bonne. And I really believe it is. It's 7 miles or so. And that's where the Pinots are. And, of course, the Examiner writer called me from the East Bay, you're a snob. We make great wine in Lodi. Of course you do.
So you bought the property in 99?
Yes.
Okay. And then removed the apple.
Yes.
They were probably dying apple trees by this
time. Well, they were all right. They were fine.
And then you started replanting within the year or so?
Yes.
How much was planted to Pinot Noir?
100%.
How many acres?
100 acres.
100 acres.
Yeah. That's why I say it's the last size. There are still a few little apple orchards here and there up by moms and stuff. And I don't know why they keep them in. I can't make a nickel off of the damn thing.
And who consulted with you about clonal selections and all those type of decisions?
Basically nobody.
You did it on your own?
Kirk Locke.
Oh, Kirk Locke. Kirk still with you?
Yes, he is. We just finished our 37th harvest together.
Wow.
This is why we call it emeritus. Because when I sold Sonoma Cutrera to Brown Forman, had a 5-year contract to stay on as president, and they fired me in 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And I fired a few other guys too loyal, and the rest of them came on over. We're starting a new one, guys. Come on.
So Kirk came with you
yes.
from Sonoma Cutrera.
Yes. He's along with you ever since. Some other people.
And so Kirk was your vineyard manager.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still is.
Yeah.
And so he consulted on what rootstock you should be using, what clones you should be using, the spacing you should be using. And did you use a Burgundian style model when you
100% Burgundian. And when we talk about the trajectory of the fine wine business, that's 80% of it is the vineyard changes, and the changes didn't come out of Davis. I'm sorry to say, they came out of Burgundy. And
what were some of the important
changes? Well, the spacing is one.
It's close spacing.
Burgundy is 1 by 1 meter, and we need to have space for the tractor, so we're 1 meter by 2 meters. So, and the pruning is Guyot, G-U-Y-O-T.
Mm-hmm.
And the French believe that the biggest indicator of quality in the wine is how many clusters are on the vine. And so we prune all our vines to 16 clusters, no matter what they wear.
So you're dropping a lot of fruit.
We drop.
Yeah.
Kirk
yeah.
comes in there and has a coronary in his desk every day. He said, I left 4 tons an acre on the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's another touchstone, spacing and the amount of clusters. What else?
Yield. Well, the biggest one we say for last year, my partner for years in one of our vineyards was Aubert de Valin, proprietor of the DRC, and he told me that if we irrigate, we will change the signature of the wine. And I was dumbfounded. Mm. What does that mean? I thought about it for a couple of years, went to Kirk. You know, we can't dry farm. We have to irrigate. This is California. We have summer rainfall. I said it for years myself. I said, no, I think we can do it, because before Prohibition, Hallberg Ranch was in vines, and they didn't have an irrigation system, Kirk. He says, yo, the housewife had to come out every weekend with a teapot. I said, well, what are you and Debbie doing this weekend anyway?
Yeah.
So the Hallberg Ranch is dry farmed,
yes,
100%.
100%.
But you kind of only, my thing is, you only get away with that because it's on flat, level ground. If you're on a steeper elevation, you're not going to have that type of rainfall. The
nope.
roots are not going to be as deep.
Not true. William Wesley Vineyard's a 20% slope and 100% dry farm.
And also, same with our Pinot Hill Vineyard.
Who's this just started? Who's chiming in over here?
It's my daughter.
Oh.
And
the brains behind the operation.
And Mari.
Yes. Yes.
Welcome to the show, too.
Thank you. So
she's right.
Our Pinot Hill Vineyard is anywhere from 20 to 30% grades. We planted that in 2008, and it has also become fully dry farmed. What's special about our properties is that we have Gold Ridge soil, which is a sandy loam, very well draining. It captures all of the rainfall, and it just basically drops it right into the soil that underlies that Gold Ridge. And at the two different properties, we have two different types of clay. So,
well, now the Hallberg we're talking about, and that's the one you brought in.
Yep.
This is sandy loam. This is the Gold Ridge soil. Underneath that is clay.
Yes.
It's a Sebastopol series sandy clay loam.
And so these roots can go really deep, 12, 15, 16, 20 feet.
I think they're probably 30 feet right now.
30 feet deep. Hmm. So that makes sense that you would be able to dry farm.
So what happens? What happens to the juice if you do irrigate? Does it just
Grapes become plumper?
Mm-hmm.
And granted, not everybody in Sonoma County or in California can dry farm. We are lucky with where we are, the types of mm-hmm. soils that we have, and we made the commitment. And Bryce was firm in that commitment, and we lost a lot of money for a number of years. But he was very firm with it, and we're going to make the best quality. So what we have seen is that our grapes are smaller, so we get more concentration of flavor, a little bit more tannin structure while not being heavy tannins, just a little bit more fine-grained tannin. And because we're seeing those smaller berries, when we were irrigating, they were just getting plumped up almost artificially from the extra irrigation.
Yeah, but the main thing is, if I got 2 minutes?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
The main thing is...
You have as much time as you want.
Don't tell them that.
The main thing is... The big rap on California wines my whole life has been they don't show terroir. And I heard a celebrated Napa winemaker go ballistic one time when a famous guy said, these wines don't have terroir. Oh, mine's got North Napa, South Napa, blah, blah, blah. And I agreed with this guy. I always thought we had terroir, but we don't. The rap is right. And the reason is terroir is soil, climate, and man. And when we irrigate, all the roots grow in this onion right underneath the vine where all the water is. And they have to be rewatered several times during the summer because there's not enough root mass to sustain all the vegetation. So those roots are being grown hydroponically. The difference in the signature that my friend Aubert was talking about, changed the signature of the wine, is the difference between a hothouse tomato and a John Ash field-grown tomato out in the back of the restaurant, a garden-grown tomato, and it is significant. And when we irrigate, you're not getting anything from the soil, and so we do not express full terroir in the vines.
So during the drought, even you did not irrigate? You didn't have to water?
No.
The roots were going, they had a big enough support system, the vine did, through its roots, growing down so deep, it's pulling water from the soil that might have rained 3 or 4 years ago.
Or 10 years.
Yeah. And, it also was raining enough to sustain the vines. They don't need all that much rain. But we were getting smaller crops than usual during the drought, which, was common across the board.
Bryce, why has Pinot Noir become so important to us? Because we used to have Pinot Noir. It wasn't very good.
I agree.
Because it came from hot climates and things like that. So what happened?
We didn't understand Pinot. To understand Pinot, you must go to Burgundy. And we never did. We all got everything from Davis. Everybody came from Davis. But my theory is this, John. Merlot became so popular because it wasn't Cabernet. Mm-hmm. But it had various attributes of Cabernet. And so people said it's Merlot, it's just not Cabernet. Pinot Noir is not Cabernet, but it has its own fabulous attributes that Merlot doesn't have. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what happened as people started talking about Pinot. Oh, my goodness gracious. So it's been like a rocket. Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break at that point. Bryce Couture-Jones, that gives you an indication of who he is. He got the Sonoma Couture off the ground about 30-plus years ago. His daughter, Mari Jones, is with us, too, in their new venture. Not really that new. It's 18 years old or so by this time. Emeritus Vineyards is joining Chef John Ash and me, Steve Garner, in the KSRO kitchen. We're celebrating our 31st year here on KSRO back after this.
FM News Talk Radio. North County 103.5. South County 94.5. KSRO.
Hi, Jeff Davis here from On the Wine Road. Here's some news from Smothers European Volvo. As they draw closer to completing their new state-of-the-art showroom, they now have the new XC40, a modern crossover with intuitive technology, smart storage, and, as you may have heard, unique ownership options. The dealership can explain that. The base MSRP starts at $33,200. What you'll find is its comfort, class, safety, and game-changing style exceeds in all the areas that are important to car buyers. So much so, it won Car of the Year from What Car and Le Automobile Magazine. And by the way, as Smothers European grows with their new showroom, they're in need of sales associates, finance managers, and technicians. Opportunity is only a drive away. 2881 Corby Avenue and SmothersEuropeanVolvo.com. You can trust Smothers. They're a go local dealership and they've been a family-run business since 1982.
Hello, I'm Joyce DeFalla, the Assistant Minister at the Center for Spiritual Living. You may have heard our program, Spiritual Living with Edward Filyoun, a half hour of practical spiritual inspiration at 8:30 on Sunday mornings. We want to let you know that in addition to our Sunday morning services, we also have an informal Sunday evening service at 7 p.m. and a free one-hour class on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more information, please visit our website, cslsr.org. That's the initials for the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, cslsr.org. You can also give us a call at 707-546-4543. That's 707-546-4543. And don't forget, Spiritual Living with Edward Filyoun at 8:30 on Sunday mornings.
Napa Know How.
If you know how to pick something up and put it in a bucket, you know how to save 20%. This week only, buy a Napa bucket for $2.99. Fill it to the top, and boom, you're a savings genius. So hurry in and save, because the Napa 20% off deal ends soon. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating stores, exclusions apply. Minimum three items. Offer available July 23rd through July 31st.
I'm Dane Lobb. I'm a public safety specialist with PG&E. If you encounter a down power line, you need to stay away from it. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. PG&E will make the scene safe.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Sunny skies for the weekend heading into next week. Today topping out at 88, 68 on the coast with blue skies. Clear tonight, low 54 across the county. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, maybe a cloud or two. High 88, 69 in Bodega Bay. Blue skies for Monday at 88, 72 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
In the KSRO kitchen today, Chef John Ash and, of course, me, Steve Garner, hosting the Good Food Hour, and joined by Bryce Couture-Jones and daughter Mari Jones. They're from Emeritus Vineyard. Of course, Bryce helped found Sonoma Couture 30-plus years ago. Mari is the COO, or she says the president of fun, and Bryce is the president emeritus of the vineyard. So we have this beautiful wine, and we're going to taste this beautiful wine. Would you just touch briefly on your other two labels, I believe. You have other couple Pinots, don't you, at this point?
Yeah, we have a couple vineyards. So what we brought today is our Halber Grand Vineyard, and that's our flagship wine. You'll find it in restaurants around the Bay Area and around the country. It's what we're best known for. Our tasting room sits in the middle of the property. It's very beautiful. So this is the property that launched the whole project. We also do have a vineyard called Pinot Hill. Very creative naming, and that just sits in southern Sebastopol in the Sebastopol Hills, very southwest corner of Russian River Valley, although we label it Sonoma Coast, and that is a newer property. It's from, we planted in 2008. Our first vintage was 2013, so we're only a couple vintages in on that. And then we also had the William Wesley Vineyard, which my dad was talking about, his partnership with Aubert de Valaine. They developed that property together. We ended up selling the property, and we have just the 2015 vintage left from there. Although between Halberg Ranch and Pinot Hill, we have about 140 acres. And so we're finding new small blocks and different interesting wines that we're continuing to expand our offerings from those two vineyards.
So everything, but everything is a state.
Everything is a state. We sell about 2/3 of our grapes to other producers. So what we're doing is a smaller amount of what we grow.
So the Pinot Hill
Is that on flatlands or is that elevated?
No, it's very steep. It's about 30% grades.
30% grades.
And it's about a 30-acre property. Oh, Halberg Ranch is the very gentle rolling hills of Russian River Valley, and that's about a little over 100 acres planted.
So this Pinot Hill wine, being at a higher elevation, I think of higher tannins, it's going to maybe take a while longer to come around, or is that not accurate?
You know, it's a more acid-driven wine. It's a little bit lighter and more delicate, but it really packs a punch because the grapes are so small that it really gets a lot of complexity and layers in it. It is more acid-driven. It has more tannin, but the grapes just don't get as ripe. It's in, a funnel of fog, so it's foggy all morning, all afternoon, mm-hmm. all night, and it's also in an inversion layer, so it actually gets a slightly warmer nighttime temperature than we do at Halberg Ranch. So it's a really interesting and a really unique property, and the wine is...
There was a wonderful little book written a few years ago, which I think kind of sums up Pinot, that how difficult it is to deal with. I mean, you could grow anything else and have a lot less headaches, but the name of this book was The Heartbreak Grape. Do you ever remember?
Yeah, that was Josh Jensen.
Yeah, and it was just that, you're going, everything's fine, and then something happens in the vineyard, or it's like it's gone.
Yeah, Pinot Hill, I mean, we consider it lucky if we get over a ton an acre.
But, Pinot Noir, people ask me all the time, why don't you grow some Chardonnay there? We could grow Chardonnay. You can make Chardonnay from a vine grown in a parking lot in Fresno.
Now that's not true. Not great Chardonnay.
Oh.
This is a man that made his fortune.
Yeah.
That's very true.
But then squandered it on Pinot. Yeah.
And that one they grow in the other valley over there, Cabernet.
Oh, yeah.
And we say that can be made by America's first astronaut. Mm-hmm. Well, this was Enos the monkey.
Well, I'm thirsty.
Yeah.
Are you thirsty?
Yeah.
Why don't we have a sip of this? Mari,
cheers.
Describe what's in the glass. And Bryce, while she's describing, we haven't touched on the oak protocol. Where do you get your barrels, and how important is that in the finished product?
Okay.
So, it's a 2015 vintage, so I think if everybody knows, 15 was the smallest crop in a long while, coming off of three really bumper years. We saw uneven ripening of the grapes, so even within the same cluster, down the same row or on the same vine, there wasn't uniform ripeness, which is not very common for us. We have such beautiful weather. It's so easy to, get everything ripe. And so this really has it's one of those vintages that stands out as unique and different. California, we love it because the vintages don't differ all that much. And 15 was a year where it just is a little bit of a curveball. And we think, though, it's one of the best wines, probably the best vintage that we've released to date.
About the oak, Steve, I'm not surprised you've done some homework. It's very typical that I understand about you. We do not buy the barrels like everybody else almost in the world. The rep comes around and sells you the barrel, and it comes 3 or 4 months later. The barrel, I say, is like a thermostat in an expensive car engine. You spend $20 on this thermostat to put it in a $10,000 engine, and if the thermostat goes haywire, you blow up the whole engine. Same within the barrel and the wine business. So to take note, there's 50 steps in the production from the time you saw the tree down to the time you put the wine in a barrel, and any one of them can cross you up. So we try to control as many of those steps as we can. I don't buy barrels. I buy trees. I have a forester in France, and we go to the auctions. He goes, and we buy the tree, and he lugs it back and makes it into staves. We air season these staves 3 years, and then we give it to our favored tonnelier, and they make the barrel. But we try to control as many of those steps as you can.
So this is an incredibly expensive additional. So you import all these barrels from France?
Yeah.
Okay. And how long do you use them? How many years?
4 or 5 years.
By the way, if I may interject something, Steve, Mari passed over our tasting room pretty quickly. She built it, and when she said she was going to build it, I got the consultants in and wrote it all down. She ignored all those guys and built it her way. A few months ago, USA Today did a survey on tours and tasting rooms in America and published the top 20, and we're on that list.
Wow.
At number one.
You're kidding. So what makes it different, your tasting?
I think what makes it different is our wines and our stories and our people, our tour goes through the vineyard. It goes through the winery. It's a really in-depth look. It's educational, but it's fun, and it's tailored to whoever is there. And that's a tribute to the people giving those tours.
So if people want to go visit the winery and all, how do they do that?
So our tasting room is open 7 days a week. We invite you to make an appointment if you're so inclined. If you're not and you have a smaller size group, you're welcome to drop in. And if you are interested in the tour, though, we do ask for a reservation. So pretty easy.
Number one tour.
Number one. By That's right. Saturday.
When you think of all of the money that people have spent on creating tours and building tasting rooms and all that stuff.
Especially not Other Valley.
Congratulations. Yeah, the Other Valley.
And it's in the heart of Russian River. Of course, it's in Green Valley.
Yeah, so our property actually spans both the Green Valley part of Russian River Valley and kind of the Laguna Plain. So the ridge that Bryce was talking about is that ridge between the Green Valley watershed and the Laguna de Santa Rosa watershed. Okay. So we kind of are on both sides of that, although the bulk of the property is on the Green Valley side.
Do you only make Pinot Noir, or do you make other wines?
No. That's it, Pinot.
Okay. We'll be back after this. Chef John Ash, Steve Garner in the kitchen with the Bryces and the beautiful Emeritus Vineyard Pinot Noir we're tasting today from the Halberg Ranch.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted best farmers market in Sonoma County. You'll enjoy exploring all they have to offer. This summer's market is exploding with all its local bounty. Berries and fruit, summer squash, onions, and vine-ripe tomatoes. Get your vegetable starts and advice from Master Gardeners at the Saturday Market. When it comes to choosing meat, discover the quality of local beef, pork, lamb, and freshly made sausages. Award-winning vendors and artisans offering everything from baked goods, olive oil, fermented foods, spices, and chocolate to hand-painted silk pieces. Enjoy a fruit smoothie, breakfast, or lunch from the variety of food vendors. Santa Rosa's Original Certified Farmers Market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. Open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun. Life can change overnight. There's no time to waste. Make the positive decisions now to reach career and life goals for you and your family. Empire College wants to help. Now's your opportunity to get the education needed to build, rebuild, or reimagine your life for free. Don't let life happen. Make it happen. Get a free 2-year degree in a supportive environment with personalized attention that makes getting your degree fast and easy. Focus on your education and Empire College will do the rest. This is your last chance to make 2018 the year you start the rest of your life. Complete your degree and live the new life you created with a free 2-year degree from Empire College. Apply today at empirefreeeducation.com. Tell us how winning a 2-year education from Empire College will inspire your life. Go to empirefreeeducation.com and apply today. All entries due by July 31st. Empire College. Get inspired and reimagine your life.
Results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services. If you owe the IRS back taxes, payroll taxes, or have not filed your returns, the IRS will get you. They can take your property, take you to court, even put you in jail. With one call to WAL, you'll never need to talk to the IRS again. Our average client settles for about 10% of what is owed. We offer free face-to-face consultations in your local area. Call 800-727-0433. That's 800-727-0433.
KSR. AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Steve Garner and John Ash welcoming the Joneses to the Good Food Hour today. Bryce and Mari from Emeritus Vineyards here in Sonoma County and Sebastopol in more particular. And we're tasting the 2015 Halberg Pinot Noir. So you do things a little bit differently. After you harvest at night, because you want really that those grapes to be cold, so you're out there when it's 50 degrees, and you bring them in, and you crush the grapes. But you actually get in and stomp the grapes?
The winemaker gets in every tank once, at least, because
why?
This is terroir, is soil, climate, and man. What does soil gives the wine's character, climate gives its personality, and the French say man gives it the spirit. And I've thought about that for 25 years, and part of that spirit is getting in that tank. Man gives the wine the spirit, and the wine gives the man some spirit. And what kind of music he plays during the fermentation. All this is the spirit of the wine.
And who is the winemaker?
So our winemaker right now is a gentleman named David Latin. He's been with us about a year. Prior to that, it was Nicholas Cantacuzen. And prior to that, it was Don Blackburn. Nicholas was Don's assistant. And when Don passed away, Nicholas took over our winemaking operations.
So they all get in the tank and stomp around for
at least once.
You also test how thick the skins are.
You get a tactile feel, right?
Yeah, and you feel where the hot spots are in the tank. I mean, you get a great workout, and
you could charge a fortune for that. You know,
honestly, people ask us all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so after the punch down, what happens next?
We do a cold soak for a few days, and that's really when all the juice starts to come out. After about 3 days, the fermentation kicks in, the temperature comes up. We do all native yeast fermentations. And then from there, we go into barrel. Basically, once fermentations are done, we do an overnight settle.
So explain the native yeast thing for people who don't know what that is. It's risky, isn't it?
A little bit. And no matter what, there's one strain of yeast that will end up dominating fermentation, and there's debate about whether or not the native yeast, if you start with native, if it even makes a difference, if you then inoculate. I mean, there's whole controversies out there that I won't dip my toe into. But we think that it brings a little bit more of that terroir in. We've also identified the strain of yeast in our winery that is responsible for completing all of the fermentations, and it is truly a yeast that's native to the oak trees in our area. So we think that just kind of further enhances it gets the good terroir, really speaks to the land.
So where are you in the cycle now? What's in barrel? What's going to be bottled next?
So we are we're bottling right now our 2017s, or some of them. Some of them will be bottled after harvest. And then we're starting to get ready for the next vintage. So we're doing some green thinning right now. We're seeing the first signs of veraison a couple weeks ago. So veraison is slowly happening, and we're going through and continuing to do some thinning for that. And getting the winery prepped for another harvest.
Okay, you used a term that some people may not know. What is veraison?
Veraison is when the grapes go from this green color, this immature green color, to whatever their final color is, whether that's purple or, the yellowy color of a white wine grape.
So the grapes you're going to bottle in the fall, how long have those been in?
We do either like a 10-month or a 14-month barrel age on our wines, depending on the wines, depending on the vintage. You know, there's not an exact formula, but typically it's around 10 months for a wine like Hallberg, and a little bit longer for some of our heavier and more intense wines.
So all the wines that are in barrels from Hallberg, aren't they all slightly different?
Yeah.
Every barrel is ever so slightly
different. Yeah, so before bottling, we pick out the final blend. We have some wine that doesn't fit into those final blends.
You taste every barrel.
Yeah, I mean, I personally don't. I come in when the blending process is.
but Steve, you're right, because making wine, the French have no term for winemaker. God makes the wine. What the wine geek does is blend.
Yeah.
Bill Bonetti was the best Chardonnay blender, I think, in the world, but certainly in America.
At Couture, when he was
Couture.
He was the original winemaker.
He was the original, and I hated to lose him. Okay. But his rep in certain circles was as a blender.
Take all these different parts of the vineyard. We have 11 clones planted at the property, and you're taking all these different parts and different, ages of barrels, and you're putting them all together to make the final wine. And so it goes into a bigger tank where it's physically blended that every bottle is more or less.
Okay, so that wine that you don't use,
yes,
where does it go?
We try to use it all.
But there's always going to be something that doesn't fit. So we don't have any AVA blend, a larger, blend of everything. So we'll sell a little bit in bulk, and then we also bottle a little bit for Bryce's fighter pilot friends.
It's called fighter pilot,
right? Is that what it's called? Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Is it really?
You got to be on the FOB list.
It has a special label you designed?
And the list is dwindling, so that production is dwindling too.
Before we take this last break, I'd like to ask each of you for your favorite number between 1 and 12. Mari, your favorite number?
Well, 8.
8. Five. And Bryce?
5.
Callers number 8 and caller number 5 at 636-1350 will each win a pair of tickets to the Gravenstein Apple Fair. You can join John Ash and me on the 11th of August. Of course, if you don't want to join us, you can come on Sunday, August 12th.
It's the greatest fair.
It is the greatest fair, and it's right down the road from Bryce.
Yep.
Right.
Come to the tasting room after.
Callers number 5 and callers number 8 at 636-1350 each will win a pair of tickets to the Gravenstein Apple Fair. And if you don't win, blame the Joneses. They didn't pick your number.
Weather every 10 minutes mornings. Every 30 minutes all the time. On FM News Talk Radio. 103.5 FM and 94.5 FM. KSRO.
Michael O'Shea, president of KSRO here, an avid golfer. We're blessed to have the world's best golfing weather here in Sonoma County. Crisp mornings, sunny days, delightful twilight. My favorite golf club is Oakmont. Two great courses, a par 72, great for the experienced player, and a par 63, ideal for seniors, beginners, or golfers that just want to work on the short game. With stunning panoramic views of the beautiful Valley of the Moon and the rolling hills of Sonoma wine country. Folks, as I've said, this is world-class golf. And Oakmont is happy to also to be open to the public so they can offer this amazing experience to everyone. Take a lesson, learn how to golf with their LPGA golf instructors, Jessica Quayle and Rebecca Heinmark. Afterwards, enjoy lunch at the Quayle Inn Restaurant and Bar or have their five-star venue host your special event. Let the staff know it's your first time at Oakmont and you'll get a bucket of range balls free. Golf when you want it and priority tee times. Go to oakmontgc.com or tell your smartphone to
call Oakmont Golf Club in Santa Rosa.
The perfect wine country wedding destination, Oakmont Golf Club.
Every moment is just for you at Graton Resort and Casino. Go all in on exciting gaming action or celebrate and explore 12 great restaurants, 6 bars and lounges, nightly entertainment, and more. It's your moment right in the heart of Sonoma wine country. Staycation in luxury, from our beautiful rooms to our world-class spa and fabulous pool with cabanas. Book your stay today at GraytonResortCasino.com. Your moment awaits. See you there.
I'm Dane Lobb. I'm a public safety specialist with PG&E. If you're in your home or business and you smell gas, your first step is to get out. Travel to a safe distance until you can't smell the gas anymore, and then call 911. The first responders will come out, and they'll make it safe for you and your community.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Last few minutes with Bryce and Mari Jones from Emeritus Winery. When you go out to the tasting room, you'll taste the Pinot Noirs, but what else can they taste, Mari?
So, seasonally, we also have our rosé. We call it Ruby Ruby, and that's almost gone. We have just a few cases left. But we also just bottled for the very first time a white Pinot Noir, about 150 cases of that. So coming this fall, we'll have that available.
I've never heard of this before.
I haven't either.
There's not very many out there. It's basically the juice from the grapes right after they're picked. I mean, there's almost no skin contact, and we fermented that separately, a little bit of batonnage in the barrels, and it's a really beautiful, beautiful wine, and it's white.
You want a second opinion?
So you're getting back to your Chardonnay roots there.
But even
say,
better.
Giving a second opinion.
Well, I always told my dad that I didn't like his wine, that I didn't want to drink it, that I didn't like it. Yeah, and then he took me to Burgundy, and I tasted, you know, red Burgundy. And I said, oh, gosh, Bryce, you really need to make wine like this.
So good. But that's only available at the tasting
It'll
room?
It'll be available in our tasting room this fall, yeah.
Oh, this, okay.
Yep. We just bottled it, so it needs a little bit of... It leans a minute in the bottle.
Fantastic.
Well, yeah.
Thank you, Jones family, for coming in today.
Thank you for having us. This is so fun.
This is really cool. Great to meet both of you. Congratulations on the success of the Emeritus.
Great pleasure and an honor to meet you after all these years.
Well, and it's great to see you again, too, because we have an old, old acquaintanceship. So that's great.
Long time. John Ash, we'll see you for corn dogs next Saturday at the Sonoma County
Fair. Apple pie, huh?
And no, that's the following week.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Oh, corn dogs. Okay.
Corn dogs at the fair. So make sure you bring your buy card. Okay. I'll see everybody at the Sonoma County Fair next Saturday for Garden Talk and the Good Food Hour. I'm Steve Garner. Stick around at the table with Clark Wolf follows the news. High noon at KSRO Santa Rosa. Hello.